Welcome to the No Film School podcast. This is Gigi Hawkins, and I am speaking to you from the mountains of Park City. Yes, we are here. We are continuing our Sundance coverage, and I'm excited to bring you an interview with the team behind the new film Layla, which opened the Sundance Festival on Main Street, playing at the Egyptian Theater. Layla is the story of a London drag queen who vacillates between these identities and specifically starts to code switch based off of this person that they are starting to have feelings for. It also flows into sort of mix of genres, which Amru will speak to. But honestly, the thing that really stuck with me within the film was this undeniable chemistry between the main character, Layla, and the character of Max. It really was so powerful and so great to see them on screen. The film is written and directed by Amru Al-Qadi. It also stars Bilal Hosna and Louis Greatorex. And I was able to see this film, as I speak to in our interview, a few weeks before the festival came out, maybe like a week. And it was one of those movies that you watched and you could not wait to talk with others about. But however, I was not able to do that. So I was very excited to speak with this team. I've been following Amru's work for a while now, and this is just a beautiful directorial debut for them. However, they have this extensive background in performing, in writing for television, and working as an actor. So what stood out to me in this conversation, specifically with the actors joining us as well, is the work that they did to get to the point where the chemistry between these two characters was just so compelling. I genuinely believe we're about to launch this new iconic duo with this film, and particularly Amru's ability to direct in a way that goes against what may be an actor's first instinct, or what may be even a writer's first instinct. So through this conversation, I hope you pay attention to how they talk about that director-actor relationship. I think this is a great listen if you're looking to become more of an actor's director, or just get a refresher on how you can better support the talent that is leading your projects. So here's my conversation with Amru, Bilal, and Louis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the No Film School podcast. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
You opened the festival last night, which is incredible. So let's just go around and do quick introductions at your role on the film.
Hi, I'm Amru Al-Qadi, they, them pronouns, and I'm the writer-director of Layla.
Hi, I'm Bilal Hosna, and I play Layla.
I'm Louis Greatorex, and I play Max.
How does it feel to be here after it is now out in the world, after creating this film and it being such a journey?
Yeah, it's really obviously a joy, and it's quite intense just because it's obviously coming out into the world as if it's a new film. But I started writing it when I was 27, 2018. And obviously we shot it in 2022. And so just like, it's just been like a really long labor, like being pregnant for 6 years. So it's weird that it's people are responding to it like a new piece of work when it's been incubating for so long.
Wow. How about you?
It's totally surreal. I can't believe this is like my first film, and the goal, you know, the dream of dreams was always to premiere at Sundance, and to have had the premiere yesterday was like one of the first films to open the festival at the Egyptian Theater as well, which is like obviously such a prestigious institution. it's just, yeah, it's mad. Some of my favorite films have premiered here, so it's kind of mad to be part of that history. So yeah, I feel very lucky.
It is definitely very surreal, but it's quite, I didn't realize how much of a vulnerable experience this would be, do you know? Because suddenly everyone that is seeing what you've made. Mm. And up until now, it's just been a little thing that we've all sort of done together and had fun making. Now it's out there. And you're terrified what people are going to say, but everyone said really lovely things so far. So
yeah,
can't complain.
Is it relief, or do you still feel like you're in that falling limbo?
I'm not relieved as such. I mean, obviously there's the like pressure of having to sell it. You know, there's like, it feels like, you know, you do convince financiers to take a chance on you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always feel like I'm duty bound to help them, you know, have faith in me. And you're always worried about your next thing as well. We always felt like Layla, outside of like sales or commercial, was like, it's a really audience facing film. Like, and I've always cared much more about just like audience reactions. I think it's because I do drag and I love just performing. And the reaction in the room was so electric. And yeah. I kind of want it. That's why Sundance is such a perfect home, I think, because it's about audience. You know, you give a shit about everything else, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch the film yesterday. Like Louis and I have watched the film now. It was our fourth time watching it, which is, as an actor, quite a, maybe three too many times to watch yourself actually on screen. And, you know, you do begin to nitpick. But actually, last night was my favorite time watching it. I felt like we were watching it for the first time, because it was the first time we were watching it with people who had never seen it before, who had nothing to do with it. And as Amru said, the reception was just like better than we could have ever hoped for. It was so, yeah, it was so magical.
And you also find yourself responding to moments that you've previously overlooked, the moments that you never thought would land in the way that they do. And suddenly you go, oh, wow. And you feel like you're seeing it for the first time.
For sure.
Again, just through the eyes of everyone else.
Yeah. Well, this audience in particular was probably one of the first audiences to see it fresh, like not involved in the production, not friends or family.
Yeah, absolutely.
What were some of the unexpected reactions that or feelings that you felt in the theater experiencing them watching it?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously don't want to give any plot points or anything away, but like, I think obviously the film doesn't surprise me anymore because I know it so well. And Layla as a character is really fluid and changes their identity throughout the film. And the film tonally tries to replicate that by switching from, you know, comedy to drama to rom-com to family. You know, the film jumps around a lot on purpose. And I definitely felt the audience's surprise of, oh, now we're like really laughing really hard, or now we're, you know, there are some sequences where the film undercuts where you think you were. Hopefully that was the intention. And you could hear some gasps in the room, or just sort of, oh, I really wasn't expecting Layla to go there now. Mm-hmm. And so just feeling, because I'm just like, oh, this scene is boring, I want to move on, but I know it really, really well. And actually just feeling the audience be shocked was quite fun.
There is a moment in the film where we see a new phase of Layla. Mm-hmm. And the sad part about being on the press side is sometimes we watch screeners alone and we don't get to experience the electricity in the room, but then you get to have that visceral reaction alone. And like the gasp was there. Like there's one particular moment where I felt this change and I had this like reaction and felt sad, but then we were in a rom-com and I was like, oh, this is like such an homage to like London and British rom-coms. And I'd love to hear a little bit about the discovery of the film process. Before you made this film, you teamed up with your producer and you made four short films, three in 1 year, mm-hmm. which is a marathon. Mm-hmm. What in that process informed this film in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I'd already been a writer for a while just for like my own drag shows, and I'd written on a soap opera called Hollyoaks and had written a lot of TV already. So I felt quite confident as a writer. And so the shorts are quite different to Layla. I mean, I think shorts are more like poems, whereas like films are more like novels. And so my shorts are quite experimental, but they were really used to figure out what my visual language was as a director. I'd already felt quite confident as a writer and knew sort of what I wanted to say. So I definitely used the short filmmaking process to learn about like what it's like to be on set and to have to make decisions and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think this cinematic language of Layla is really built. And I worked with the same DOP for every single short as well, bar one. So and the same editor. And so the years of making the shorts together were us just trying to figure out like what our visual language is. So by the time we got to Layla, we had a real shorthand. And Layla has quite a big production style and quite ambitious visual language, which is hard on a first feature. But because I'd worked with them for so long, we had a shorthand that I think if it had been a new DOP or a new editor, the visual would... So yeah, the grammar that I learned visually was from just making those shorts.
Now, you are a performer. You've acted as well. I feel like you do it all. I'd love to hear about your experience, the three of you, working with a director who has all this performance experience, this acting experience, and what it was like to discover your characters through that and work together through that.
I think that's what makes them such a good director, because you knew the right things to say to an actor because you've been there yourself.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, there was a sort of shorthand developed between the three of us on set, which meant that we could sort of circumvent any long explanations because we knew that Amru knew what it was like to be not only a drag performer, but an actor as well on screen specifically, which I think has its own kind of language of note giving and note taking.
Yeah.
And I think it meant that under what was quite a, you know, extremely busy schedule, we had to do, you know, 27 locations, 27 days. We were able to, I think, in part, thanks to the fact that you are an actor, like get quickly to the point and so that we can like begin to sharpen things much quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think it allowed me personally to like actually like push myself and add different kind of colors to a performance in a way that with other directors, maybe you can't get there as quickly because you have to sort of find, you know, a way of speaking about performing, if that makes sense. So it was really helpful.
They're both incredible actors. So like my job wasn't that hard.
But you were fearless with giving notes as well. You wouldn't sort of, you know, camouflage what you were saying, whether it's something like, you know, you're signposting, you know, showing what we're doing too much or whatever. You're just straight there and rather than beating about the bush. And I think that really helped.
Some actors probably respond differently to that. I mean, what we did was also we had like a week of rehearsals, just the three of us in a room, making all the mistakes and figuring out the chemistry so that by the time we got onto set, we already sort of knew what we were trying to achieve. So obviously stuff happened on set that was new and surprising, but we really laid the foundation so that by the time we were on set, it was like we knew what they were doing. I think that difference, you know, with actors and directors is I think actors want to give everything in every moment, in every scene. They want to give all of themselves. Not you specifically, but I find when I work with actors, you know, they treat every scene like the only scene in the movie just because they want to do really, really well. But as a director, you kind of know exactly where they start and where they end. And performances that I find tricky in movies are when they start where they end or where they're just giving it from the beginning. And the best actors, I think, hold back in some scenes. And I think there were moments where it was like, obviously, also you know the end of the film as the actor, so you kind of already know your full character. And there were some scenes where it was like, Layla's not there yet, or Max actually isn't there yet. Mm-hmm. Or so actually encouraging them to not give it all. And some actors get quite frustrated with that because they're like, no, I want to do that.
Right.
But they really got that.
I'd love to like drill into a specific scene or moment. I think it's so helpful for our listeners who a lot of them are switching into a new role. So they may have experience in acting or they may be new to filmmaking, but a specific moment where you had to either sort of course correct to get the performances in the right space where they are in the story and like how you got there. And perhaps it was through the shorthand, but like a particular moment that stands out to you.
For me, the scene that really stood out to me, without giving away too much of the movie, Layla and Max have had a break because Max has disappeared for a bit. And then Layla finds Max again in a new identity. And in that scene, Layla is completely camouflaging everything that they're feeling. And Max is also feeling things that he can't express. And it's a very mundane conversation that they have. You know, it's basically, hey, how are you? I'm good, you know? And that scene, it's really hard to get actors to lie on the screen. It's really, and that was actually during the audition process. We were quite actually worried during the first set of tapes that we got because everyone was telegraphing their emotions. And the whole point of Layla is that no one's really saying what they feel and they're disguising what they feel in order to make a relationship work. And they're also literally hiding things about their life to everyone. And yeah, so that was one scene where it was like, that's why they're so good, both of them, because they both are good at lying on camera.
That's the scene that I gasped. That was the like audible alone in the apartment, yeah, shaking the room.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's actually quite a mundane scene in a way.
And which is why it's so powerful, you know?
There were multiple occasions where we would be rehearsing a scene and often Amri would encourage us to play against lines as well. I remember that was like a big thing. And actually,
it
was amazing because I come from more of a TV background where you don't necessarily get as much time to really get into scenes or get into the script. And actually to treat a scene almost like a poem, like one page or two pages. And it's like, okay, what can we do with this line? How can we play against it? What is the new meaning that is unlocked there? And so often in the relationship between Louis and Max, and between, not Louis and Max, between Layla and Max, they are never really saying what they feel. You know, one of the big problems in the relationship is a lack of communication. And I remember like, you know, so many moments where Amri would say, what happens if you just push this and play against this? What happens if you put this attention in this line? Don't say what you mean. Actually say something totally different. And that would actually unlock often the script in the scene. There was a moment in their sort of quote unquote meet cue not to give too much away, but after the corporate pride performance, where it becomes clear that Max is not going to go and hang out with Layla. And they have the line, too bad. And instead of performing that sincerely, Amru encouraged me to play against the line. And actually that unlocked so much because in that moment, you can see Layla using that sort of armory of campness to try and protect themselves over actually a feeling of total rejection. Mm. And that was like quite an important tool.
Yeah, playing against the text was something that like I encourage more actors to do,
yeah,
because no one ever really says what they feel, I think.
Yeah, for
there's
sure.
Like one scene where, and again, this is actually a scene I think that came in one of the tape rounds. I don't know if he actually did it, where it's Max and Layla are about to get together for the first time. It's been like a long night and it's like, will they kiss? Mm-hmm. And and Layla really obviously wants it. And Max does too, but Layla can't tell if Max wants it. And so Layla just starts talking about how this nightclub is like an orphanage for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first take you did that line quite sincerely. And I was like, actually, you just want to get dick.
Yeah.
So you're just a feeling of rejection.
Yeah. So you're just using those words to talk, but you don't care.
Yeah. Move this along, basically.
Yeah, you're moving it along. And that's one of my favorite lines in the film because it's like, they don't care about that right now.
Right.
There's also this scene where I'm asking about pronouns, you know, on the bed.
Mm.
And I came into that. I think we did that in the rehearsal process. I came into that treating it like an interrogation,
yeah,
you know, like asking you the questions. And you were like, no, it's way lighter than that.
Yeah.
It's all like every question, every line was, this is not a serious discussion. This isn't sincere. This is, you know, like forcing smiles in a way.
Absolutely
the way to play it. If we hadn't had that rehearsal, I don't know if it would have been the same.
Mm.
Yeah, I would encourage directors to put budget in for rehearsals over production design or whatever. I mean, we definitely sacrificed some sort of flashy tricks to have a week of rehearsals. I think with a film like this, you can have the most incredible cinematography or whatever, but if you don't buy the chemistry, who cares?
Yeah.
The chemistry is undeniable. And I think that Layla and Max are going to be this iconic duo in our culture. I would love to hear about the casting process because you did not write this film with Bilal in mind, though it's hard to believe that because you bring Layla to life in such a powerful way.
Thank you.
How was it? How was it finding and creating this world of people that became so real?
Well, I mean, originally, because I was really much younger when I pitched it, like Film 4 were talking about me playing Layla, and by the time it got greenlit, I was ancient. And it's a film about young love. So that was not even a possibility anymore. But actually, I personally can't direct and act at the same time. I know there are some really talented people who can do that. I just can't. I've tried it. I just don't know what I'm doing.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah. Well, I just have such different heads when I'm doing it. But we have amazing casting director called Shaheen Baig. Mm-hmm. Went on a hunt. We were brought, you know, real life Arab drag queens, actors, amazing people. I think in the first cycle of tapes and auditions before we met Bilal, we got a lot of great drag queens who played the role like a drag queen, which is so much part of Layla's character. But I think the trick of the film is that you meet Layla as a drag queen and you think that they're this like really sassy, uncompromising, fearless person. And they are on stage. And that's how often I've felt about my drag. Like on stage, I'm like this, but actually off stage, I'm very, very anxious. But a lot of people couldn't then translate the character out of drag. So a lot of the scenes with Max would be quite sassy and quite... And actually, I think the contradiction of the film, and maybe something that people might not get when they watch it, I don't know, is like, wait, you're really... I mean, you know, the performance they do near the beginning of the film is completely outrageous.
Yes.
And then they're really shy afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think some people, even in script stage, had trouble understanding the character. Mm. And that was, we got pushed back a little bit on that. But Bilal was able to embody both elements really, really well. And is just obviously extraordinarily gifted.
Did you cast different ages?
Like, no, we kept it range? Under 25.
Okay.
Like, and then once we thought we, you know, we'd had Bilal and some other people, but we knew we kind of wanted to go with Bilal. We started looking for Max.
Looking for Louis.
For Louis. But, you know, Louis was not brought to me initially. I was brought quite a series of... I mean, there are not a shortage of white male actors out there. So I got hundreds of tapes rather than like 20. And the initial round were more jockey, like more what you would think like a mask cis guy is. And when I saw those tapes... I was a little bit worried. I thought this film is going to be quite simple because you've got this like amazing drag queen dating like a bro and then it's doomed, you know, because then it's just like everyone's an archetype.
Yeah.
Right.
So then...
That's how I read it. When the script came through, in my head, I thought, I love this, but I'm not that.
A big jock. Yeah. And I think that's how I initially started writing when I was 28. But then And then the next round of tapes came in and then we saw Louis' tape and that was incredible. Well, because Max is also, I think, really likable.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Which is why it's such a dynamic and nuanced experience to watch this relationship and watch the like many layers that need to be peeled back.
Yes.
And I think it would be very easy to go with like that first instinct, maybe, but I don't know. I think there was something really special that also let us be with each character and feel with them, even when they weren't operating in the way that like was best for their partner.
I think you need to want the relationship to work to want to stay for an hour and a half.
Totally.
There are a lot of doomed relationship movies that I think are really good, but they're over before they start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we had a chemistry read.
Yes.
And that was incredible.
The chemistry read. So how did you run that?
I was in LA, so I did it on Zoom.
Okay. Amory was on a laptop on a table, in the middle of a basement in Tottenham Court Road.
Oh my gosh.
And Louis came in and we did the chemistry. Savannah, the producer, was there. Shaheen, the casting director, was there. Connor, Shaheen's assistant, was there as well. And we did the scenes for Amory and Amory provided notes via Zoom, basically.
And poor Bilal, we'd already cast Bilal and then had about four Maxes.
Yeah.
So it was basically like, Bilal was an escort, just dealing with four clients in a
bringing
row.
Bringing them in, bringing them in.
We had to do that. And one of the scenes we had to do was the break, the emotional climax of the film.
You thought it went badly, didn't you?
Well, I was sort of knocked off my feet by Bilal. I'd psyched myself up for this chemistry read. I thought, you know, I've got something here. I think they like what I'm doing. And then we did the first scene and I remember in my head thinking they're never going to cast me. I've heard this before
I just cannot believe this. Like,
and then also,
I felt like this every single, can I just say, I felt like this every single day on set, like just in terms of Louis' approach to this character, like every single scene we did, I was won over by Max as a character. And I had to always like make sure that I was in Layla's head and not in Bilal's head. And I think that was and it all started in the chemistry read. Like Louis was able just to strike this total incredible balance between, on the one hand, like, you know, doing justice to the ways in which Max does like manipulate, whether they know it, whether he knows it or not, like Layla's feelings and Layla's expression. But on the other hand, just like a genuine curiosity about this person that they've never met before from this world that they're so foreign to them. And he did, yeah, you just did that so beautifully every time.
Yeah, actually,
so it surprises me.
you have to be totally on your character's side, obviously. Yeah. That's how it works. So when we were filming it, every decision that Matt's made, it was totally justified. Never for a second thought. Obviously, we were aware of the moment. So it's like, oh, maybe this is a bit dodgy. But it's only when you see it back on screen that you go, whoa. So that's why that was wrong. Because you don't fully see that.
Actually, funnily enough, what you just said about Louis, our editor had to have a word with me during the editing process of not falling in love with Max too much. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of coverage and who we cut to, because Louis is so charismatic and so likable, but it's Layla's film and you have to experience Max through Layla. And there's a lot of scenes in the initial where there was more coverage of Max, not in a like who's better performance way, but you just to like fall in love with him more. It was just like you fall in love with Max, and actually we had to restrain that a little bit.
But that's what's so great about the film is that it feels like you are seeing everything through Layla's experience.
I hope so.
I think that's through the edit as well.
In every day, right?
Yeah.
27 days.
I was in the characters in every scene in the film apart from two shots.
But there was an earlier draft of the script
where we had all of Max's life.
It sort of followed Max as well. And I think it's totally the right decision to not.
We cut that.
That would have been a different movie. It would have been
we
Layla
didn't shoot those, just to clarify.
Well, it's funny with queer work because people want it all. And like, you know, I'll have conversations where people will be like, I want to know more about Max's life. I want to know more about the family. I want to know more about. And you just start to realize that there's so much limited queer work that everyone thinks that this film should deliver on every aspect of queer life. And actually it's just like a character study of Layla and their world and their experience. Like I can't do it all in this low budget 1.5 hour movie.
I think that just means you have to make more movies.
Well, I hope they let me.
They better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited for the film. I'm so excited for it to be out in the world. I think everyone is going to fall in love with Layla and Max. And as we wrap up here, we always like to sign off with advice that you all have for emerging filmmakers, people who are just getting their start. And so what advice do you have? And we'll start with Louis.
For filmmakers, as in directors, writers?
Directors, people who want to be in front of the camera. I think we're all filmmakers.
I feel like you've got to know what you can offer. You've got to be confident in your own ability, because if you go into a room doubting what you can do, I realize now this is incredibly ironic that I'm saying this after I've just said I came in and I was doubting. But if you don't have faith in yourself, I think that comes across, and I think that's a bit of a turn off for people that have the power to, you know, make your work happen.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I think film is like a team sport, which is what's so great about the medium. And I used my shorts to find collaborators that I wanted to work with forever. I think it's really important that you find a producer. Mine happens to be my best friend, who gets your work completely and who you completely trust, because they really become like your therapist, your lawyer, your creative protector. I can't imagine doing it without a producer who I couldn't cry to. Or so find a producer you really, really like. And then also HODs that you want to work with forever. Because really, it's a family that you're building. You're not doing it on your own. And it can be really hard. So you need to have people around you you really, really trust. Mm. So yeah, that's my big advice.
I think mine would be, I'm at a time now like in my life where I love films and like, my background, like, has always been like watching TV. Like that was the way my family bonded. Every night we'd watch EastEnders. But I didn't know that much about films, to be honest. And I didn't know, like, only doing this film did I understand about the festival circuit and how films are bought and sold and distributed and all of this kind of stuff. And I think if I could go back and do more things, I would just watch loads more films than I do already. And also know about the sort of the nuts and bolts actually of the business side of it, actually. Like, what does it mean to actually sell a film, you know, get a film into a festival? What do the different festivals stand for? And like, kind of the things that you don't see that aren't to do with set or writing, but that also aren't to do with watching the film in the cinema, which means that you are watching the film in the end, you know? So I guess, yeah, just like learning, watching more films and also like learning about how they're sold and bought and all of that kind of slightly boring stuff. But I think it's actually really helpful.
It's fascinating.
It's not boring at all.
No, I think it's so interesting. Like the festival circuit stuff has been like fascinating.
It's interesting for you. I have to deal with it. Like,
yeah, for you, it's like your day in, day out.
Yeah, I remember harassing you and Savannah, like while we were filming.
Playing?
It was just constant
really
questions about the process, yeah. You know, that I just didn't
was
know.
One step away from archiving you on my WhatsApp.
When's this going to happen? When's this going
to
happen?
At the sweet door.
He wanted to be, because Louis is really interested in edits and sound mixes, and he really wanted to be in the edit to see, not his scenes, but my editor was like, no.
Yeah.
Just because it was a tight edit.
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah. But we brought you in to see the Foley.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Yeah. That's something I've never seen before. And I've, like Henry said, I edit and have shot my own short films and stuff, but I've never been to a Foley, which was some shed in the middle of the countryside where you had this wonderful group of people making strange noises.
Things.
And it was, there's this bizarre experience of watching myself eat food on the screen in silence. Then in front of that, a woman like shoving burgers in her mouth to try and make the sound that it looks like I was making.
That's true movie magic happening in real time.
I know.
Oh, well, congratulations, all of
you.
This is
so
exciting. And I hope you are as excited as I am for the film to be out in the world. It's going to be great. It's going to be a long festival circuit, I have a feeling, and a lot of fighting off people who want to buy the film and all these things.
Well, I hope so.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amru, Bilal, and Louis, for joining us and for sharing about your experience. It was so fun to catch you all in the wake of your premiere, and congratulations on this film. Thank you so much for listening to the No Film School podcast. You can like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast across all podcast platforms. You can also get more No Film School at nofilmschool.com, where we'll continue to have our Sundance coverage on top of our podcast that we'll be releasing here over the next week or so. And you can email us podcast@nofilmschool.com. Finally, you can follow us on social media @nofilmschool. Thank you for listening.